It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
It's a new test developed by Abbott Labs that delivers lightning-fast results in as little as 5 minutes. That's a whole new ballgame. I want to thank Abbott Labs for the incredible work they've done. They've been working around the clock. Normally, this approval process from the FDA would take 10 months and even longer, but we did it in 4 weeks.
And I hear they're going to have thousands of those ready this week.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good news.
Yeah, that's really great news. We also know the other news that the social distancing the administration has recommended again, and this is where we talked about where people were wondering, you know, where do these laws come from that you can quarantine people or isolate people? And we went through that 2 weeks ago when this first started, and then went through it again, part of the Supreme Court precedent that actually covers and gives mostly governments the ability to do it, which is why you've seen what comes from the federal government is recommendations.
Right.
That's what you're getting.
Right.
Yeah, not orders.
Right, not orders. And the orders are coming from state and local governments. And even here in the state of Texas, for the most part, early on, it was, and still in some cases, it still is, up to the local governments decide what to do.
Yeah, the governor of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, and this came across Sunday. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has announced orders restricting travel to Texas from some COVID-19 hotspots. The governor mandated a quarantine for road travelers arriving in Texas from any location in Louisiana. He said this will be enforced by the Texas Department of Public Safety at entry points into the state. Those coming from Louisiana will have to self-quarantine for 14 days. The order does not apply to travelers related to commercial activity, truckers, a military service, emergency response, health response, or critical infrastructure functions. The order goes into effect at noon on Monday, March 30th, later today.
That's already on top of the
Said that people flying from Miami, Atlanta, Detroit, and Chicago, California, and Washington State into Texas must self-quarantine. And so you're probably going to see this right now.
And that's in addition to New York.
And New York was when? Last week?
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah. The self-quarantine procedure will mirror the processes outlined in the governor's previous executive order requiring mandatory self-quarantine for air travelers from the New York tri-state area and New Orleans, Louisiana. That order says those entering Texas as their final destination from the designated areas will use a form from DPS to designate their quarantine location. DPS special agents will conduct unannounced visits to designated quarantine locations to verify compliance. Failure to comply with this order is considered a criminal offense that is punishable by up to a $1,000 fine, up to 180 days in jail, or both. So if you've got DPS on this, which of course is, you know, right now the response, I guess, you know, if there were a manpower issue on enforcement on this, those checkpoints could be taken over instead of DPS doing that. You could have maybe the National Guard doing checkpoints at those entry points from, and that would be all roads. It is any point in Louisiana on the road travelers. And then if you're coming in from that destination point, that would be taken care of when you land. I don't know the details. Or would it be if you're coming from New York and you're at a New York airport or the tri-state area, do you fill out that form before you get on the plane to go to your destination,
no,
which is Texas?
No, you would fill it out when you get here.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, because
right.
That would be a Texas form, not a New York form. So you get off the plane, And then I guess what I wonder what happens there, because it's not like an international checkpoint where you come in through customs, but I guess they have checkpoints set up with DPS.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I guess you would have to meet them at the gate.
And at that point, the same thing. Now, the only way they can enforce it is the threat of random checks.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that will happen or not, we don't know.
Right.
I don't know if the manpower exists. Now, the only thing is, as we've said, with the decrease, and this is where we get to what we were talking about before the top of the hour, when we were reading last week what was in the final stimulus bill, that for the airlines, for the grants and the loans and everything else, one of the things that they had to do if they were going to accept it was ensure that they went back to the schedule that they had as of March 1st and didn't lay off anybody August 30th or September 30th, something like that.
Right.
And you and I said, how can they do that? You have right now, I mean, you've got massive cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
They've got planes parked in the desert already. You have the American, you have American flight passenger, you're down 90% of people using airplane flights.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Over 90%, right? As of last week, probably 92, 93, 94% of people that were flying last year mm-hmm. are not flying now.
Yeah.
What, you're going to give grants so they go up in the air and burn money?
Right.
You might, instead of doing that, instead of burning fuel, you might as well just pay the people.
Yeah, sure. Well, and the point is that would be, if you're forcing them, if they are forcing them to fly, you're talking about federal money that's designed to do nothing but literally burn fuel.
We don't know the details. Are the details in there that, look, if the flight isn't 90% full, then you can cancel it.
Right.
But you still have to keep it on the schedule. You can cancel within whatever, a day or two, mm-hmm.
An hour or two.
An hour or two.
I don't know.
Right. If you don't have if you don't have a certain level of passengers.
Well, because the demand in terms of the national demand, the collective demand, anybody expect that to turn around this week? No.
No, airlines are canceling more for May. They're going to be down 80% for May.
Well, you look at Governor Abbott. I mean, what he's doing. You know, you look at the other governors and what they're doing. This is unprecedented. And the airlines are in some cases, okay, so here's the thing. So the states start, you know, this is not a restriction from travel. You can come into Texas, but it's a mandatory quarantine. And they're going to follow up on it. Well, how practical is that? Does it apply to people coming home from New Orleans?
By the way, here's a legal question here. Mm. And I don't know what the answer is, but when you look at what the authority is when it comes to intrastate.
Right.
You know, you're allowing them in here, but you're quarantining them once they come in. Does the state have the ability to do that as a state, as the governor, or is that federal jurisdiction because they're coming across state lines and you're doing it because of that?
Well, the governor only has the authority of their behavior over their behavior once they've come into his state.
And that's what he would be looking to do.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I mean, he can't keep them from crossing the line, but he can, in this case, he can order them to be quarantined for crossing that line.
Now see, the reason I asked that is Cuomo said, because Rhode Island backed off.
Right.
Rhode Island was going to do that to anybody with the New York plate
mm-hmm.
coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll sue. And I never got to the specifics of what he would sue over,
right.
But they backed off of that.
Right.
I haven't heard anything where Louisiana has threatened Texas in some way to file a federal lawsuit on that. Because that's what I'm guessing that's what the federal lawsuit would be.
Yeah, whether or not it's a federal role, because you're talking about interstate travel.
Right.
But the governors each control that section of that interstate once it's inside their boundaries. Once it's inside their territory.
I agree. So that's why I'd want to see what the, you know, what the devil is in the details
because you're not
of a particular lawsuit.
Yeah, you're not limiting, you're not restricting interstate travel. You're putting a condition to it.
That's restricting.
Actually, it doesn't keep them from doing that.
But it's restricting for a reason.
If you're voluntarily going, there is a condition on the other side. But yeah.
I'm guessing they would say, look, you're saying they can cross.
Yeah.
But you're saying once they get there, they can't do anything for 2 weeks.
Exactly. Once they're in your jurisdiction.
And is that how a federal judge would look at it? And I don't know. I mean, I just, I don't have the, by the way, I don't know if that's ever been tested in the courts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it has.
These things are so rare. Mm-hmm. When you go back to Marshall and you're talking the 1800s of looking at pandemics, and that's some of the constitutional precedent on it. It's something that we haven't visited since when? Something like this, 19, you know, the Spanish influenza pandemic.
I mean, there are a number of conditions in each state when you cross the state line on an interstate, right? The speed changes, the speed limit changes.
Right.
Right. There are laws that are, of course, unique to each state.
But everybody has to follow those, not just people from that state.
Well, that are traveling from that state. Yes.
Right. 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 But everybody in state or out of state has to follow it.
Yes, sure.
So, again, I'm just...
But it's also voluntary.
But, by the way...
It's voluntary.
I'm not arguing. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing possibilities in there.
Yeah, and I'm throwing the possibilities of what the argument might be on the other side.
Right.
It is voluntary in nature because you give the exemption to commercial and to commercial travel. You give the exemption to the health industry and everybody else. It is voluntary whether or not you cross that state line, with few exceptions.
I don't know how the voluntary makes any difference.
Well, I mean, if you cross a line, if you cross the state line, you're going to have to abide by whatever rule, even if it's temporary or law or order of those lines. I mean, if you come into Dallas from Tarrant County, let's say you come over here to work. If the other county has a different mandate in place, I thought about this just the other day. In our four county area, there are plenty of people that work even outside the four county area that go into those other counties that have restrictions.
I can't golf in Dallas County.
Right, right. But people from Dallas County can come over and spread the virus to you on the golf course.
Yes. Not me.
In Tarrant County.
Not me.
You know, I mean, again, I mean, it's completely unique and brand new territory.
We'll see, but I haven't heard about a lawsuit that they've been threatened. I just wonder what if Cuomo was just blowing smoke, you know, there, and what the response was when the Rhode Island governor backed off.
Right.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
Since oil is like the blood of your engine, the benefits of oil analysis go beyond preventative maintenance. If you're considering buying a new car, vehicle, motorcycle, or even diesel machinery, an oil analysis can help identify any issues lurking under that washed and waxed hood. You might want to reconsider your purchase if a lab report shows high levels of metal in the oil. For fleet managers, oil analysis can help minimize downtime, as well as safely extend drain intervals, meaning less money spent on oil, filters, and labor. Like a blood test, oil analysis shouldn't be a one-and-done item on your maintenance checklist. Although a single sample is useful in providing a snapshot evaluation, especially where a component problem is suspected, used oil analysis is best used when results can be compared to many samples taken over a period of time. Cenex recommends that diesel engines be analyzed monthly or every 250 hours, and gasoline engines every 3,000 miles. For more information, visit cenex.com.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Uh-oh.
Here we go. Told you.
After three coronavirus stimulus packages, Congress is already prepping for phase four.
Told you.
Yes.
And it could be bigger than phase three.
Yes.
Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal has this, and they quote Stephen Moore, one of the president's outside consultants, economic consultants. Quote, there's talk of a multi-trillion dollar program given the size of the shutdown. There's a general recognition that we need something big to get some juice into the economy. And I'm not saying that Eric has a crystal ball, but he did say at the beginning of the show, he said, if this thing, because when we were talking about it going till April 30th,
yeah,
you said if it goes to April, if we don't open till April 30th, don't be surprised that they come out with another package to extend it to August 30th to give it at least another month. Well, they're talking about,
yeah,
that's one of the ideas.
Or May 31st, yeah. April, you said August, but if they could go to August 30th or 31st, I guess. But after April, they would go to May. They would probably go to one month at a time, right?
No, the payments, the unemployment benefits goes to July 31st.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the stimulus payments.
That they would take it to August.
Yeah, yeah.
The unemployment.
I think that's already a given. I think they're probably going to do that anyway because, and you look at, okay.
We were confusing the checks and unemployment.
No,
okay.
Exactly. Well, because you're going to give $3,400 up front, right? I don't know that will stay. I suspect it will. Maybe not the kids because we don't really love our children. Maybe we'll just do $1,200 per adult. We're the station that cares. But the unemployment, yeah, I did say earlier.
Right.
I actually think they might extend that even further than August. If we get to the point of April, and we haven't seen anything promising from the clinical trials in New York, or the number of cases being, basically flattening the curve, as they've been saying, then I think they could go even beyond August. They could go, because it's July 31st now, they could go another 3 months. They could go to the end of the year with that $600 per week federal unemployment. I think so.
Well, and the other thing they're talking about is bailing out the states for the deficits the states are going to be in because of lost tax revenue.
Wow.
One of the things, and I believe it was, because I'm reading this from the Wall Street Journal, I believe this was from the Wall Street Journal when they said, look, we shouldn't, because they were talking about the fact that that Cuomo was saying all we're getting is $3.8 billion. Remember that complaint?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No, you're not. And they went through the tens of billions of dollars that will be provided to New York, you know, in this particular deal. And the warning was from the Wall Street Journal is, look, let's take, you know, if they need to take care of the states, that's one thing. For the losses during this, don't make up. They said, remember that they're already talking about a $6 billion hole to be made up in the New York budget before we ever got to coronavirus. This should not be an opportunity for states to look for a bailout that for the deficit that they created in normal times and are trying to get more because of the coronavirus has put them even into a bigger hole.
Right.
And so if you're talking about, okay, well, this is because what I'm hearing here and reading here, well, this is about stimulus. We need to bail off the states. Well, that's not stimulus.
No.
That's just bailing out the states.
Well, and again, I mean, where do you draw that line? You have a number of states that are underwater right now, right? So do you just say, okay, every state gets the same amount? Or, you know, where do you draw that line?
Now they get a per population.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Which means California gets a ton of money.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
pure chaos. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's head to Jack in Rhode Island. We were talking about Rhode Island and New York. Hi, Jack. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Very good. What's up?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I work for a defense contractor down in Connecticut, and I live in Rhode Island, and I live right on the coast. We've had a lot of people coming from out of state recently, which I can understand, just like you have down there in Louisiana, people coming over, and they want to get out of their areas. We have people, they have second homes up here, and they're fleeing their area. They're not being tested, and they're coming up here. And our governor is asking them to quarantine, and they're not. So what they've done is anybody from out of state is being asked to self-quarantine. So they've gone around, and they've asked the National Guard and the state police to do a door-to-door search. Just ask people. How long do you plan on staying?
Yeah, you're repeating what we just said in the last segment. Exactly what we just said was going on. We were talking about the legalities of it and the fact that Rhode Island put that executive order in, and then Cuomo threatened to sue, and so Rhode Island backed off on it and is no longer doing that. And so we were talking about the legalities. We understood what was going on. We clearly understood that very, very beginning.
Yeah, right.
It was the legalities of it that we were looking at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I suspect you asked if there is a court right now, a court challenge in place. I suspect there will be before this is over with. And we'll see where, something like that goes. I'd really be interested to watch that case develop at the high court level. Restricting travel and what a state government can do. What do they have the right to do, again, in terms of, as you brought up, interstate travel? We're in unprecedented territory, and I think legally a very interesting situation developing. Because if you go back, 2-3 weeks? If you had talked about this then, or a month ago, you talked about this kind of restriction of travel, people would have been outraged, right? And the question is, at what point is there a tipping point? I mean, it's all commensurate with the information we're getting on COVID, right? What we're learning about the spread of the virus, what local and state jurisdictions are doing. That's kind of trailing the information that's coming out, that we get from scientists. And the CDC. But at some point, there will be a threshold if it progresses in the same manner. We'll see if that happens.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said Sunday that New Yorkers who violate orders from police to disperse public gatherings will be fined up to $500 amid the coronavirus outbreak. Politico reported that the mayor made the announcement at a press conference while stressing that fines would be only used as a last resort to those truly intent on violating the order, but we hope that the threat is a deterrent in its own. I added that last part of it.
Right.
They're going to give people every chance to listen. Hey, stupid, go home. And if anyone doesn't listen, then they deserve a fine at that point, de Blasio said. I don't want to fine people when so many folks are going through economic distress, but if they haven't gotten the message by now and they don't get the message when an enforcement officer is staring them in the face, that person then deserves the fine, so we're going to proceed with that. You've been warned and warned and warned again, he reportedly added, stating that fines would be issued in increments of $250 up to $500 for violations of social distancing guidelines.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, two major health insurers, Cigna and Humana, are waiving all out-of-pocket costs for coronavirus treatments nationwide. The president said yesterday two of the country's largest health insurers, Humana and Cigna, are announcing that they will waive co-pays, which is a big deal for anybody who understands insurance. They don't waive co-pays easily, but we've asked them to do it, and they have done it. By the way, that as everybody has noted, anything that the insurance companies do, expect higher premiums next year.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to recover costs to stay above water.
Yeah. So they're not doing it for free.
No.
No. It's all in the cost. It's all in the cost of doing business. Well, you're going to pay one way or another.
Oh no, you're going to pay. Yeah.
Except because I got into this discussion yesterday where people were saying it was going back and forth between the right and the left.
Yeah.
And it was, don't you dare take your check if you don't support Trump and don't say Trump's your president, give it back.
Yeah.
And the response was Congress passed the bill, not Trump.
Yeah.
So Trump only signed the bill. Congress passed the bill and the Democrats got all the good stuff in there. And this is the debate going back and forth.
Yeah.
So the fact is Trump supporters shouldn't take it. And I went, well, actually, none of the above. I just put it in. Actually, none of the above is paying. Except taxpayers will pay a little bit of the interest, but basically it'll be your children, your great-grandchildren, or your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. They'll be paying for all of this.
Well, I don't know.
And all the deficit spending beforehand.
Yeah, if we keep going at this rate, you and I might be paying for it. seriously. But, you know, the thing is that people, you know, the thing. Where is Joe Biden, by the way? The whole idea of the back and forth is people only care about, you know, there is no blue money, red money. In fact, there's no green money. It's black and white. It's electronic transfers. So, the fact of the matter is people aren't paying attention to that. You can say what you want and try and stand your ground, but when that money hits your bank, people are going to take it. They're not going to give it back. This isn't Cinderella Man. That generation is long gone. That type of thought is long gone. It's quite the opposite. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what your country can do for you. That's 2020.
Yeah, that's where we live. But I love that one was going on. And by the way, when people say, I can't believe the politicians are playing politics with this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go on social media.
Right.
The media is playing politics with it.
Well, their hatred for Trump, they're using this as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And by the way, they have to lie to do it.
Yeah.
They have to lie to do it. They have to lie continuously, deliberately, to get this thing done, to make him look inept, to make him look wrong. The whole thing, I mean, over and over again, still trying to separate Dr. Fauci from the president.
Yeah, still trying to
create that rift. But Dr. Fauci disagrees. Nope. On the principle, if you look at everything that he has said, all he's saying is there's nothing definitive at this point.
Right.
The president's trying to bring hope. You know, this is it. A week ago last Friday, NBC reporter, of course, there was a lot more to it. But what you saw is the NBC reporter saying, what can you do to give people hope? The president looks and says, I'm very hopeful about, you know, the drugs and that they'll work, while the president's trying to kill people with fish tank cleaner. I mean, that's the insanity that we live in right now. And it's over and over again. And it's not going to end. This was their golden opportunity. Russian collusion, failure, massive failure. Kavanaugh, block Kavanaugh, massive failure. Impeachment, massive failure. And still right now, coronavirus. But guess what? At least right now, the support, the approval ratings are with the president and not the media. And this is where, again, I don't know if the president gets the so-called win. Tell me where there's a win on a situation like this. But a job well done award so far? Yes. Absolutely.
If you'd like to get in, we do have a line open. Would love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to David in Wisconsin. David, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. I'll try not to be scatterbrained about this, but when I look at this check as a conservative, I'm looking at it from the viewpoint of, all right, I've got a couple of $1,000 in the bank. I'm not hurting. Why am I receiving this? What am I going to do with this? Well, gee, when I file my taxes, if I owe any money, guess what? I'm just going to hand it back to them. Also, I really, really, really think that the money isn't needed for everybody. And if people are really honest with themselves, the ones that don't need it should send it back.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for most people.
Why put my grandkids through more crap?
Well, look, why were they worried about that before? I mean, there are very few, and God bless you, David, for being worried about the national debt. It's something we should all be concerned about, and running a $1 trillion deficit until, you know, well, the end of time. That was the prediction before coronavirus. Who knows what it's going to be now? But the fact of the matter is that's the nature of most people today, again, is not to do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
look, no,
unfortunately.
We weren't getting calls from Republicans about the debt.
No.
We stopped getting that about 3-4 years ago, where Republicans stopped caring about the debt and deficit in normal times.
Yeah.
So in times like this, there's going to be fewer people that even care about it.
Right, right.
They're going to say,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But there is one other thing I'd like to kind of pass on.
Okay.
And it's a study I seen many years ago. I passed it on to my son, and he took it to heart. 75% of American public doesn't have a grand in the bank. And I think after all of this is said and done, we're going to see an uptick in that.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are just going to go, I'm not going to get caught with my pants down again.
We're going in the opposite direction, I think.
Yeah, no, I think...
people will be more dependent.
Yeah, I think even fewer people would have $1,000 in the bank if they're not in the hole altogether. I think debt, actually personal debt, is probably going to skyrocket. Only to the extent that debt is offered, is, you know, by the lending institutions. I think that's, you're going to start seeing that too, David. I think very quickly, and thank you for the call. I think you're going to start seeing lending institutions limit credit lines.
No, if you say, look, if there's any problem, even if there isn't a problem, we're going to give you money.
Mm-hmm.
The incentive is not to save in the future.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's how it normally go. I mean, if you're looking at how people respond to incentive, it's like, oh, I was in trouble or I wasn't in trouble.
Yeah.
And the government came through with money for me. I'll just depend more on the government.
I'll just do that. Right. Yep. No, I don't. I think it's going to be, if the government can do this, what can't they do? I'm okay with that. They're going to stretch out and they'll do, you know, let's say at the end of April, they do another, you know, $3 trillion in unemployment and throw another, let's just say, $1,000 per adult. So another $2,000 at people for the beginning of April, or the beginning of May, rather. And extend that $600 a week, all the way through August or even the end of the year. Look, if they're going to do that, what won't they do? Why should I go back to work?
Well, I think it'd be the opposite. In a year from now, you guys were complaining that the debt's getting too bad. And look, they were able to do all the money for the stimulus program and give everybody $1,000. We need to go with Andrew Yang. This is more evidence that the government can give every family $24,000
a year. Why should I go back to work?
Right.
Why should my spouse have to work? Or why should my kids have to work? Or, you know, why should I have to work? You know, that's going to be back and forth over and over again.
By the way, we're getting this, and we addressed it 3 or 4 times on the show today, but apparently people still keep calling, and a lot of them are truckers. No, nothing restricts any truckers from going anywhere.
No, commercial travel is exempt from that.
Right.
I don't even know that they would be pulling over a tractor trailer. They might pull over a tractor. So if you are bobtailing, and they believe maybe it's personal conveyance time and you're coming home out of Louisiana. That I don't know. I don't know that. But in terms of commercial traffic and travel altogether, there is personal travel that you can have inside the cab of a truck, personal conveyance. But I think if you've got a trailer on, I don't even know why they would stop you. That's commercial traffic.
No commercial traffic's being stopped anywhere. Just for people that know, apparently people haven't heard, because we've said this over and over and over again, just on today's show, and just said it as recently as a couple of minutes ago, and we're getting more people calling. We have addressed that over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, that all commercial traffic, whether it's, you know, and remember, for some reason, people don't, the Rhode Island governor rescinded the executive order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was rescinded to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of Texas coming in from Louisiana, commercial travel is exempt. It has to be. It will always be exempt. You know, so, yeah. You know, I don't know about buses. What about a Greyhound full of people?
Well, are there Greyhounds full of people?
I don't know. There's not planes full of people.
Certainly not, no.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. In the news this morning,
FDA authorized a new test developed by Abbott Labs that delivers lightning-fast results in as little as 5 minutes. That's a whole new ball game. I want to thank Abbott Labs for the incredible work they've done. They've been working round the clock. Normally, this approval process from the FDA would take 10 months and even longer, but we did it in 4 weeks. We will be extending our guidelines to April 30th to slow the spread.
We shouldn't take any solace when we see low levels in different states, different cities, different areas, because they're very vulnerable to an explosion. The reason the president made the announcement today about going to the end of April is because we want to make sure that we don't prematurely think we're doing so great. We may be, but we want to push it to the extreme.
That's the president and Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday speaking at the Rose Garden. And there's where we are. The recommendations are social distancing now for the entire month of April, and the next step we see that we believe will be taken is you'll have more states and where we are, more counties and more municipalities now extending their mandates.
Well, I mean, we were talking off the air about the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, extending the right now the travel quarantine mandate to road travel from any point in Louisiana. I expect him to expand that if there is no real change or the flattening of the curve, because you don't have to have a Louisiana plate. So you could be somebody who's traveling through Louisiana from another state where there isn't a restriction, and you could just go up on I-40 and come down into Texas from Oklahoma. Again, if it's going to be effective, you can bet that states are probably going to widen this before they start to loosen up regulations. That's going to wreak havoc. Think about how much now. Commercial travel is exempt. Those in the medical field, they're exempt. So the problem they're going to have, I think, though, is how much business travel aside from this. Again, well, let me ask a question this way. Does all business travel, is that considered commercial? I think no, because
no.
It's commercial vehicles only. If you're in your car, but you're doing business on the road and you're a traveling, you know, business person on the road, you're going to have to be quarantined, and it will be enforced by the Department of Public Safety Texas.
Let's see what's happening in Rhode Island. This is Andrew Cuomo yesterday, and by this statement, giving you a false indication as to what's going on.
Rhode Island issued an executive order that New York license plates would be theoretically stopped at the border. for mandatory quarantine of some period. That executive order has been repealed by the state of Rhode Island, and we thank them for their cooperation.
Okay, now that was Andrew Cuomo, who gives you not an accurate portrayal of what's going on. Bloomberg had the story, as did many other people, and thanks to some callers for updating us on this. The Rhode Island governor repealed an order for the police to stop only cars crossing the border with license plates from New York.
Mm-hmm.
She did so after an outcry from civil rights group and a threat of legal action from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. But that doesn't mean that you can still get in without getting stopped from New York. All she did was expand it to every other state.
Any other state, right.
Instead, she'll require all cars, regardless of origin, entering from the state's southern border from Connecticut and three key highway locations to pull over. They're all visitors to the state will be told they need to self-quarantine for 14 days, a reflection of the divide and fear around the nation over the virus's rapid spread.
What kind of mess is that? Are you talking about lining people up on the side of the road? They can't get in until they gain information, the state gains information? You'd be sitting there on the side of the road for hours.
Well, I don't know if you're going to get the information or they're just going to tell them they need to self-quarantine. Because they're all visitors will be told they need to self-quarantine for 14 days. I don't know the specifics of it. Well, they'll be doing like
Texas.
We know in, I don't know, in Texas, did they say if you come in from Louisiana that they would do the same as airplane flights coming in from New York?
You have to be quarantined. It is mandatory quarantine.
Is it? So are they going to check like DPS is for the airplanes?
That's according to the story,
look,
yes.
Look, you don't have the manpower to do that. I just don't see how you can do that.
They said DPS detectives will be doing the enforcement level. So you're going to have DPS officers there at the road check at every point coming in from Louisiana.
Well, that doesn't do anything. What does it is being able to enforce it on the other end.
Right, exactly. And the detectives are the ones who going to enforce it on the ground because you have to, at that checkpoint, you've got to give them an address where you're going to be for 14 days.
I asked that question, how many DPS detectives are there with the thousands upon thousands of people that enter the state?
Yeah, I don't know what the population of the Texas Rangers is, but it's probably significant.
The Rhode Island State Superintendent said he was confident that the new system of monitoring stations doesn't violate anyone's right. Cuomo had threatened to sue Rhode Island after state troopers began stopping cars on Friday and then on Saturday with the National Guard. These people who were going to summer homes believed to be owned by New Yorkers. So there you go. Texas, meanwhile, said it would stop all cars from Louisiana, which has reported some 3,500 coronavirus cases, demand that the traveler obey 14 days of self-quarantine. The order does not apply to commercial, military, or emergency responder traffic.
Here's the story. DPS special agents will conduct unannounced visits to designated quarantine locations. So what you do is you start making basically examples out of people.
Well, right. The threat is the random the random checking, because people understand, once you're quarantined, that's different than social distancing. When you're quarantined in your home,
that's an order.
You can't leave your house.
Mm-hmm. Or wherever it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever your final destination is in this case, yeah.
Yeah, wherever you are, wherever you go.
Yep.
If you're going to a hotel, you have to stay in. Now, you may not have coronavirus, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to your destination, you have to stay there for 14 days, and you can't leave, from what I know, from inside that house and go anywhere out in the public.
What keeps people from saying, I'm not going to be anywhere in Texas, I'm driving through to New Mexico or Arizona? Or a state that doesn't have such limits?
That's a great point. I don't know.
Because if you've got a you've got a Louisiana driver's license, right?
Look, you
present it at the DPS checkpoint. You've got to fill out a form for the DPS.
But I think it's all what we're talking about now. Again, it's really not enforcement that's getting people to abide by the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hope that people that are coming through, if you put that on, I bet you that there aren't enough DPS detectives to check thousands of people that they're stopping. And so what they're doing is, okay, we're going to throw this threat out, and hopefully it will keep. Because remember, what they're asking, the quarantine is completely different from the social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking you got to stay put for 14 days.
It's an order by
the
government.
You cannot go anywhere for 14 days. So
up to $1,000 fine and up to 180 day, under up to 180 days in jail or both.
So I'm assuming that they realize, okay, we're going to need some enforcement threat, even if we can't fulfill it, we at least have to put out the threat.
Yeah, right. Well, you fulfill it in enough to make an example.
If you get someone, yeah.
Well, that's the point, right. Is that you go out, you do those random checks, and that's the threat. You never know when we might be coming. It's going to be unannounced and random. And you make, again, my question is, how do you process that? Because it's got to go through the court system. So now you got to go through the state courts, and are you going to backlog the state courts for something like this? I don't know. I'm asking questions. How do you keep people from saying, well, no, I'm going through the state.
Well,
I'm going to Louisiana.
I'm going
to New Mexico.
Well, if they leave their homes and you catch them outside their homes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess here's the thing. If you ring the doorbell and you don't come to the door, do you get the summons at that point and you have to report after it's all over?
Again, I mean.
Because the last thing you would want is somebody who's in quarantine to be out in public.
Right. I would think, too. Oh, well, do you have to stop in quarantine if you're passing through? You say,
I don't know.
The guy says,
yeah,
I'm going to New Mexico. I'm not going to a destination. I don't have a destination in Texas. Because at that point, you're forcing them to go somewhere. And if they have no friends, family, or means to get a hotel room for 2 weeks, what are you going to do? My final destination is not.
Well,
in
you
Texas.
Remember when they did the shelter in place in Dallas County.
Mm-hmm, right.
The order was if you're in a hotel, when that order goes into effect,
mm-hmm.
You have to stay in that hotel for 2 weeks.
Right.
Well, what if you don't have the money to stay in the hotel for 2 weeks?
Right.
That question was never addressed.
Well, and then what jurisdiction is there? I guess, you know, you could put a warrant out for anybody in any state. I guess the state could put a warrant out. Because if you're looking at somebody, if you're a DPS and on the enforcement level in Texas, somebody coming from Louisiana, but they say they're not going to stop in Texas, that's not their destination. They're going to New Mexico or California. Well, then give me an address in California, because the state will follow up on this to make sure that that's where you're going to be. And if you're not there, we'll issue a warrant for your arrest, which means the next time you're back in Texas, you'll go to jail.
Well, how state of Texas can't do it if you're out of the state.
Well, they issue warrants for people all the time,
but if you
that
never,
are out of state.
Well, but you're stating that, no, they couldn't do it. They couldn't say if you don't show up in California at this particular, because if you show up in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. You're not in the state of Texas anymore, so they couldn't do that.
If you violate the rule or the law, the order in this case, by lying on the DPS form.
Well, if they let you drive through.
Mm-hmm. No, warrants are issued all the time for people who don't live in that jurisdiction.
I know, but that's not going to hold up. The warrant that you claim you're going to show up to another state that can be enforced
by
that state.
Then you can't enforce it,
yeah.
Because, I mean, warrants are issued all the time in other jurisdictions. They could threaten to do that.
Well,
the question is, will they do that?
For a crime committed in the state, but if you're
mm-hmm.
driving through the state
mm-hmm.
and you don't get out of the car.
Well, he's lying on. Here's the question. This is my question. This is my point. Is lying on the DPS form at that checkpoint. Is
well,
that against
I don't know.
The rule or the
I'm
order?
I'm going to California. Where are you going to stay? I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
All right, you have to turn back. You can't drive through the state.
I wonder what the rule says.
866-90-RED-EYE.
USDA has accepted 3.4 million acres to the General Conservation Reserve Program for the first time in 4 years.
2016 was a sign-up opportunity. We were right up against the cap at that point. And so we, you know, didn't accept a lot of acres.
That was Farm Service Agency Administrator Richard Fordyce.
When you consider the acreage cap for CRP, that's the general acres, but that's also our continuous practices as well. And so a number of different CRP practices, all of CRP, no matter whether it's a continuous practice or a general practice, all of those acres contribute toward the cap.
The 2018 Farm Bill increased the cap incrementally over the life of the bill.
We will we'll have a general sign up every year now for the rest of the farm bill. So that should make folks pretty excited as well and give people an opportunity to participate now until the end of 2023.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Cronin, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, I mean, I guess everything that we were talking about, I laughed as soon as we got off the air. So I'm like, well, those are all the things you have to deal with in a situation like this that really is unprecedented in 101 years.
Well, I'm wondering again about air travel. Think about this. So you're flying in from one of those states into our state of Texas, and it's you have to be quarantined for 14 days. Are you going to, at that point, at the gate? How do you enforce that? You have to enforce it at the gate, right? When they're getting off the plane.
Yeah. And apparently they are. I don't know precisely how, but they are, and they're getting, you know, people's address and then, again, going to follow up with DPS, with random, you know, showing up at the door. And if you're not there, I guess you have to answer the door.
Yeah. If you don't answer the door, it's assumed that you're not there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Better get yourself a loud doorbell. I would never, you know, I probably wouldn't hear it, you know. I actually sleep with a fan during the day because I don't want to hear it. Well, this is very interesting.
Well, again, this is for us because we started 2 weeks ago Thursday. You know, trying to self-isolate as much as possible just because of the show. We just can't get it. We can't take the chance of getting it. And so we're on day 18.
Yeah.
You and I on day 18. And so we've...
I'm literally wiping the counter down right now with a bleach wipe.
and we have another 30 to go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, if my yard and house doesn't look absolutely... perfectly clean,
yeah,
then something's wrong.
We are probably going to be a germ-free society or close to it by the time this is all over.
We'll all be putties.
Exactly.
Complete germophobes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. High five. Yeah, I just think it's, I think it is interesting because I told someone close to me not too long ago, wait for it. They're going to start restricting road travel between states. They will. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's something where right now, you know, the shelter in place has a lot of people very nervous because if you don't live close to home and you're wondering, you know, you're worried about your family or your loved ones, or if you're traveling for business, you know, there's other, you know, business that is going on right now. But what do we see? 9 out of 10 travelers or air travelers.
Yeah.
Right now are gone.
That's roughly
90%
think about that.
Reduction in air travel.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's unprecedented in flight history.
In commercial flight
history.
Because there weren't a lot of flights in 1918 and 19.
No, there were very few. You could get directly into Buffalo. Maybe once a week.
From Tokyo.
From Tokyo. Maybe.
Now, a couple of years later.
Now, there's going to be a sun. There's going to be a rising sun on the side of that.
Now, a couple of years later, I mean, there was that direct flight from the United States to Paris. You know, the one flight. Lindbergh.
Yes.
Lindbergh Airlines.
The one flight, yeah.
Other than that, no.
Here's your forecast.
Most of the nation will be dry. The deep south, most of the northern plains and Midwest are clear today. We'll look for Boston to have that rain continue through the week. The high today, 49. For New York City, we'll start the day out dry, partly sunny, and 59. Atlanta, partly sunny skies, 71. More rain for the rest of the week there. For Los Angeles, 74. 74 and sunny, 78 and clear in Phoenix. Denver, 59, had some snow on Friday. Chicago, rain ends, sunshine, 52 today for Kansas City, sunny and 70. Dallas, rain and thunderstorms, high today near 71. The Atlantic hurricane season runs from June 1st to November 30th. Some of the early forecasts have been released. 14 to 18 named storms are being expected by many, with 2 to 4 major hurricanes this season. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
A moment. The podcast is always online and on your phone. RedEyeRadioShow.com and the Red Eye Radio app.
And he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. I do want to play an audio cut here. This comes from Dr. Fauci from the task force briefing yesterday at the White House, talking about the number 100,000 to 200,000, you know, that would be, that looks like the worst case scenario. I remember the researcher, the scientist out of Great Britain stating that it would be 2.2 million. Remember that? And he's been criticized a lot. And even the Wall Street Journal did an editorial saying, look, he basically did this early on and said, if we don't do anything to control it, if you just let it go.
Right.
And he said, well, I'm just adapting it based on the fact that what we're doing on the ground is different. And he's now down to the, for Great Britain. I don't know if he stated for the United States, but he said Great Britain from 500,000 to 20,000.
Right.
And I don't know if that's why Fauci came up with the 100 to 200,000, because that would be, in essence, 20 times less. More, 20 times or more less than the 2.2 million that initially, you know, Ferguson came out with in Great Britain that a lot of people were using as the model. But here's Dr. Fauci talking about that new number.
You might talk about that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, the number I gave out is, you know, based on modeling. And I think it's entirely conceivable that if we do not mitigate to the extent that we're trying to do, that you could reach that number. Yeah. It's possible. I mean, you could make a big soundbite about it, but the fact is it's possible. What we're trying to do is not let that happen. So instead of concentrating on the upper and the lower, we're saying that we're trying to push it all the way down. But the second part of your question was, yes, we feel that the mitigation that we're doing right now is having an effect. It's very difficult to quantitate it because you have two dynamic things going on at the same time. You have the virus going up and you have the mitigation trying to push it down. But the decision to prolong, not prolong, but to extend this mitigation process until the end of April, I think, was a wise and prudent decision. Dr. Birx and I spent a considerable amount of time going over all the data, why we felt this was a best choice of us, and the president accepted it. So in direct answer to your question, the idea that we may have these many cases played a role in our decision in trying to make sure that we don't do something prematurely and pull back when we should be pushing.
So there you go. Dr. Fauci yesterday on the new number and why they decided to go until the end of April. You know, I was saying one thing, you know, you and I talked, I was just sitting there thinking, I was walking around during the break at the bottom of the hour. One of the reasons everybody's getting the cash is how do you sue the public that's doing what they don't want to do? Cash.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I mean, that's,
if you're trying to build security,
it's a security plan.
If you're trying to build support for a policy which is going to make it so people can't, unprecedented in telling the population they can't do what they normally do, not just for a couple of weeks, but now really when you look at it, at least 6 weeks. You know, you and I,
yeah.
you and I go to our job every day. We still get to do that. I've already stated, cash isn't going to make any difference to me. It wouldn't matter if I got cash or not. If I'm home, I just want to do the things that I want to do.
I don't care. I don't have a preference, cash or electronic deposit.
Well, you understand the point I'm trying to make. If you're as a government, if you're worried about how do we get people to cooperate,
yeah,
that thought's going to enter your mind.
Well,
I'm not saying it's the right. I'm just stating that's the thought that's going to enter your mind. Not only help the people that are unemployed and give them even more money, but give the vast majority of people under a certain salary limit, even if they don't get laid off and aren't affected by it, their lives are being disturbed. Give them a ton of cash.
Well, but here, okay. How long does that psychology work for you?
We'll see.
I believe it's about a few weeks. It's about as long as you get to the next point of them having to, because if they're not unemployed, right? I mean, if they're still working, then they're going to get that on the average $3,400, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a family of four, two kids, mom and dad. That's going to help you pay some bills, but if you're still working, does that do anything for your psychology? Now, it's a bonus. Everybody loves cash, but there's still the same fear. If you're unemployed, it's a much greater, much different fear. I mean, you're wondering, because you're limited to your home for the most part, and you can't work if you wanted to. And so I think it will be different. I think it will be different based on where we are a month from now. You were talking earlier about the next set of the next move from the government, which could come at the end of April, which could be possibly they're talking now, maybe extending that 600 a month. If we're still in this place at the end of April,
600 a week,
600 a week beyond July 31st. Well, then go to the end of the year with it. Go 90. You go another 4 months. You go 1 month at a time. Do they? Because are we going to keep going back and forth with the left piling stuff on over and over again? Now on the extension, do they have to get to 60 in the Senate? Is my question.
That I don't know, and you may have Republicans starting to balk on it, as some have already said. I think Kevin McCarthy said, "Look, let's not go there yet." But right. Stephen Moore. Remember, Stephen's as conservative as you can get when it comes to fiscal policy, and he's an outside consultant for the president, and he said they're talking about a multi-trillion-dollar fourth stimulus that would come, that would be start serious discussions come at the end of April. Now, is that only if they're going to extend it past the end of April? Was this stimulus as big because they sort of knew it was going to go till the end of April? Was the president, was Mnuchin letting it be known that, look, this isn't going to end April 15th. It's probably going to go to the 30th. We're going to have another full month of this. You and I talked about that after 2 weeks, the economic damage gets big.
Right.
After a month, it gets huge.
Yep.
A month will be the middle of April.
So you're taking
it 2 weeks past that. You're going to have an awful lot of business. You know as well as I do, probably half of restaurants can't make it that long.
Hmm.
Probably more than that.
I guess that was the basis of my question. How long can this stimulus get you? Because there's greater fear beyond having money in the bank account. Sure, it pays the rent, pays the mortgage, but beyond that, I mean, it gets, because it's very different for people who are still working. You get $3,400. Well, you're not worried right now because you're still working about the money anymore. You see what I mean? It lessens the effect once you've done it once. If you decide to throw money at it, could they be throwing more money?
The thing I wonder this week, because this is unprecedented with unemployment.
Hmm.
Are we going to see our companies going to look at it now and say, wow, temporary layoffs, big time for the next couple of months?
Yeah, right.
remember, the vast, if you look at the, what, if you look at the average salary out there in America, you're talking about what, between 40 and 70,000, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And they look at that and say, wow, those people are going to make as much or more than they normally make on unemployment. Well, we got a chance of letting them go, and they're going to come right back to our company again in the next couple of months.
We can downsize right now.
We can downsize right now, this week. There's no other reason to wait, because this is, and this unemployment, which I don't know, has this ever happened in the United States, where you had, some kind of, I'm trying to think of my dad, you know, when, you know, 5220, you know, coming out of World War II, 20 bucks for 52 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He said he only collected a couple of weeks because he had a job that quick. But you look at that, and I'm trying to think of a program that gave you more than working. And so I just wonder how many companies, and for a dual, you know, look, and the reason, you know, we weren't initially going to do this because we want to keep our talent. But you know something? Mm. Now we don't got to worry about keeping our talent.
No. No,
they're going to look at this and go, our average employee can make more on unemployment than working here. This is a great little vacation for them. And then we can hire them back when we're ready to go in 2-3 months.
Huh.
When business picks up, right?
Yeah. Well, of course. You give the companies an ability to downsize. On the flip side of that, the companies that are still in business that need the manpower, the federal assistance, the unemployment, allows you to quit your job if you feel unsafe going to work.
Yeah.
And so what do they do if they can't find enough manpower? Well, they have to raise the wages, at least temporarily, for the rest of the year. How many can afford to do that? You can only do that to the point that the market will bear that extra cost.
Right.
And I don't know where that threshold is.
You close up shop.
Right. Now, you're unemployed, and you might be able to get a grant or a business loan through the Federal Reserve, but why would you when you have no idea when people will be back? If they're already talking about it, and we're not even into April yet, if they're already talking about extending this, which, by the way, I knew they would.
Wait a minute. When was the article written? I think Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
So... Right. Yeah, the article, hang on one second here. Do I have it in front of me just to see when it was written? Did I dump it? I dumped it already.
Hmm.
But it was 1 or 2 days old. That was it. One or two days old, and they were talking about, oh, no, by Friday evening, they were talking about the possibility of a fourth.
Yeah, right, yes. Right.
So we didn't even go one day, and it became multi-trillion by the end of Friday.
Well, we talked about it early last week. If they'll do it for 1 month, they'll do it for a second month, if we're still in this situation. Because it's a blanket. It's a warm blanket. That's all it is. It's to soothe your emotions, not the unemployment part.
Well, you can't do $2 trillion a month for a long time.
No. Well, or can you?
Wow.
Bernie Sanders. Okay, fine.
Well, they wanted to do, well, no, that's true. The Bernie Sanders plan is $2 trillion a month forever.
Well, think about that. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get through this year. We'll worry about it later. I mean, we're in Vegas with an unlimited credit.
Yeah.
Keep people happy. That's all you're trying to do.
And the thing is, it's a different type of stimulus, they're saying, in April, because a ton of that would be to bail out the states.
Right, exactly.
That would go to bail out money for the budgets of the state.
And it's, what do you do with a state like Illinois? It's already a deadbeat state.
Wall Street Journal said it. New York, you know, you've got Cuomo saying we're only getting $3 billion. He's getting a lot more than $3 billion. And they went through all the stuff he's getting. He goes, but look, they were in a $6 billion deficit already. If the federal government can make up part of the $6 billion deficit that came pre-coronavirus, why not?
Right. Trump helps out Cuomo. Cuomo looks good for it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car, to be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for, you know, your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So there we are, end of April, and it will be interesting to see how many states come through or how many municipalities. And, like, for us, it's municipalities, it's counties, where the county judge will say, okay, the social distancing and all the rules and regulations, the shelter in place is extended for the next month. And now nobody did that yesterday. Nobody's done that as of this point that I know of, but expect to see that happening. Now, will they just go to April 15th? Will they go, since it's a recommendation, we'll see what happens after that, or will they go to the full month? Mm. We'll see.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.